We're talking about the revitalization efforts in Kenosha following the protests that occurred in the wake of the Jacob Blake shooting last summer. And what are the next steps for this community? It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now let's check in on our fall membership drive. I'm here with Andrea Schwerbel. Hi, Andrea.
Good morning, Kate.
Good morning. We're here to say, listeners, that means you provide the largest source of funding here at WPR. And this drive is your chance to support all the programs you enjoy. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you so much to everyone who has already given this drive. And the goal this hour is to get 20 gifts. These goals are set up to make sure that Wisconsin Public Radio has the money to pay for the programs you rely on.
All right. Well, game on. Let's meet this goal. It happens one gift at a time. Let's start with yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You might be thinking that Wisconsin Public Radio operates largely with tax dollars, and we do get funding from the federal government and the state. However, it is voluntary listener contributions that make up the largest source of funding for WPR programs.
And what that means is that your support is vital to keeping Wisconsin Public Radio on the air. And now that you know how important you are, make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR is important to you, and it's probably also important to you that everyone in the state can access this high-quality information and entertainment.
Absolutely. So become a member with a contribution of, say, set it at $10 a month or $120, and you're not only doing something good for yourself, you're doing something good for the entire community. WPR is listener supported, and that is why your participation is so critical. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Enjoy an extra $250 at the grocery store when you make a gift of any amount for the WPR programs you rely on. Five lucky winners will receive a gift card to their local grocery store. No contribution is necessary. You can send in a postcard with your name, address, email, and phone to WPR Grocery Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Better yet, you're automatically entered when you make a donation of any amount. Here's how.
That's right. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation. Good morning. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Andrea Schwerbel. Your support during this fall member drive, it makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift of, say, $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you set it at, that is the right amount.
And giving to WPR is easy. We will just need your name, contact information, the amount of your gift, and how you'd like to pay.
Yep, yep. It takes just a few minutes of your time on this morning to make your contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio. And those few minutes, they fund your daily listening. Your support right now, it really makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
So with our goal in the next 50 minutes, we are looking for 15 more people to join us. You make WPR possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And how about that grocery gift card as an added bonus for supporting the programs you love? Your donation enters you into that drawing for a $250 grocery gift card. You have five chances to win. Give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And sustainers, those of you making ongoing monthly gifts, you're automatically entered.
If you're not a sustainer yet, you can become one right now. It's super easy to set up, and then you will have monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. Do that at WPR.org or 888 888- 202-2552, and you'll provide ongoing support for the programs you love and get automatically entered in these drawings that we have during our member drives.
Mm-hmm. And a shout out to Grace in Bailey's Harbor this morning, who says, "We start every day with WPR. Nobody else does news like this." Jim in Chippewa Falls says, "WPR is part of our morning routine, and so is the morning show and the guests on the morning show. Grace and Jim, thank you so much for your support at WPR.org. We're looking at the stages of healing and rebuilding in Kenosha following the unrest that occurred in the city's downtown and uptown in the wake of the police shooting of Jacob Blake. Here's a line that stands out in a recent New York Times piece. Uptown appears frozen in time since that night in August. Much of the main commercial corridor still boarded up or crumbling. Do you live in Kenosha? How can the city rebuild after last year's protests? Conversation is right here, 800-642-1234. Anthony Kennedy is a Kenosha elder person representing a district on the city's north side. Anthony, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good morning. Jacob Blake shot by a white police officer 7 times in the back a little over a year ago in your city. How did this shooting affect you, change you?
I just want to make sure that you understand that it was stated that it was in his side. I know that sounds like some kind of apologist BS, but that is what the district attorney and the investigation said. So,
yeah. How did it affect you?
So that shooting has happened in my district, 2 blocks from my house. I remember that day clearly. You know, it's one of those things that you're always going to remember where you're at. Beautiful Sunday morning, Sunday day, I should say. I had a lot of work to do in preparation for upcoming meetings, and I had finally finished doing all my preparation. Got on my bike and started riding through the district on my way downtown at the corner of Sheridan Road and Washington. As I start to make my way downtown, I start seeing a bunch of police cars and emergency service vehicles heading west on Washington Road. I don't think much of it. Get downtown and sit down at a local cafe and have a couple of drinks, just really enjoying a beautiful Sunday. On my way home, I stopped by my daughter's house and she asked me if I saw the video. I said, "I don't know what you're talking about." Brings up the video that we've all seen. And immediately I return home, I take a shower, and I'm out on the street on the corner of 28th Avenue and 41st Street by about 7 o'clock in the evening. A crowd had gathered at that time, and in my hubris and pride, I thought I could go out there and talk to my constituents, my friends and neighbors, and keep the situation controlled. I wasn't taking into the effect that, or I wasn't taking into account that there was so much anger and frustration over what people were immediately reacting to in that video.
How much damage was done?
In the 10th district, there was, and with my district that I represent, there was not much damage at all. There was damage in the downtown district. And as you had mentioned in the introduction to this piece, there was damage in the uptown neighborhood.
In the days and weeks that followed the shooting and fires and protests, what did the 17 city elders say and do? What were conversations like on the Common Council?
Well, those conversations are a matter of public record, but one of the things I think we were continuously talking about is, one of the things I was continuously talking about was an understanding of where this frustration is coming from, understanding where this disappointment is coming from, and then trying to respond in ways that would help people understand that we hear and feel and know where their anger is coming from. Those are some very difficult conversations to have because I don't think there is no primer for this. There's no handbook for how do you deal with this kind of stuff.
You've talked about this confrontational spark in people to confront the systems, to confront systemic racism. What do you see in this spark in terms of rebuilding and in the neighborhoods?
I think that when you talk about the results, what has come out of the Jacob Blake shooting, I'm a guy of faith. I'm always going to believe that God has some purpose in the things that happen in this world. And we might not always know what God's plan is. We might not always know what is God's purpose in these things, but we have to be faithful and try to be attentive to those. Having said that, I don't know what God's plan is in reference to why Mr. Blake had to be shot 7 times. I will say this, though, there are some things happening in our community that I don't think would have happened had not that intense focus been on race relations, police relations, and community relations here in Kenosha.
We have Anthony Kennedy, a Kenosha alderperson representing a district on the city's north side, as we discuss how the city is emerging from protests last year and the future of the Uptown neighborhood. What can be done to make social and racial justice a priority in the rebuilding? How much should the state invest in helping Kenosha build back up? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll continue this conversation ahead with Anthony Kennedy on the Ideas Network. We're looking back in time and into the future on Kenosha and how the protests and unrest following the police shooting of Jacob Blake last summer forever changed the city. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now let's check in on our fall membership drive. I'm here with Andrea Schwerbel, and our goal is to bring you topics that inform, that engage, and think about Wisconsin in new ways. Your support makes that happen because listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. So give now. Any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we have about 40 minutes left to meet our goal this hour, and we're looking for 14 more people to join in. When you give, you fund the morning show and all the other WPR programs you count on. So make your gift at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
And, you know, listening to the Ideas Network is a lot like going out for coffee with a smart friend. It's enjoyable. It's informative. It piques your curiosity.
That's right. And someone has to pay for it. You make the conversations on the Ideas Network possible with your financial support. You can make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And our monthly giving program is becoming more and more popular. In fact, we have more than 25,000 sustainers who make ongoing monthly gifts, and that number is growing day by day.
We think that you'll like giving this way. It's very easy and convenient. You set up a monthly amount to come from your bank account or credit card, and that continues automatically every month. It is easy to get started. You might decide to do $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount works for you. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Show off your support for the programs you love with the new WPR baseball cap. This tan-colored hat is both hip and practical.
It's right there on your head in case a pop fly comes out and you need to nab it from midair.
I would use this hat to hold extra apples when we go apple picking in the fall.
If I were at a party where we wanted to do door prizes, I could take off my WPR cap and we could use it to collect the tickets.
Ask for your WPR baseball cap now when you give $10 a month or more. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or call 888 202-252-2552 to make your donation in support of programs you count on. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. I'm here with Andrea Schwerbel. It's your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio that keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. And whether your contribution is, say, $10 a month, whether you set it at $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
However you have chosen to give, thank you. That support is so powerful. And there's still something more you can do if you've made a donation. You can encourage a friend to join the Wisconsin Public Radio community.
That's right. Spread the love. Tell your friends and family that you support WPR, and you might inspire them to do the same at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are still looking for 13 more people to join in and support WPR by 8 o'clock this morning. You make WPR possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And support Wisconsin Public Radio and ask for the new WPR baseball cap with the WPR logo on the front. Of course, you'll show off your public media pride wherever you go. Ask for yours with a gift of $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're not already a sustainer, this is a great time to consider doing that. It is easy to set up, and you'll make ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. You can set it up at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and that will provide reliable support for the programs you love.
Shout out to Michaela in Madison, says, I listen every morning. It's the best way I stay connected to my community, state, and country. Your gift is powerful. It really makes a difference at WPR.org, and thanks. We're reflecting on Kenosha, taking stock of the city that burned following the police shooting of Jacob Blake last summer. Kenosha firefighters reported dozens of fires in the wake of the shooting. The Uptown neighborhood and its commercial district went up in flames, and the images showed a city reeling after the murder of George Floyd in Minneapolis. Kenosha, another ground zero for the atrocities of racism, of police brutality. What do you think about how Kenosha has changed or stayed the same? What does rebuilding mean to you? Conversation is right here, 800-642-1234. Kenosha Alder Anthony Kennedy stays with us. Anthony, we invited Mayor John Antaramian to come on the show to talk about the rebuilding efforts. Didn't get a response, but in your view, what is the city doing to address the problem of police bias and the use of force?
So one of the things that the mayor has put together is the Kenosha Action Roadmaps for Inclusion, Equality, and Equity. These are community-filled committees that are working to address certain issues. The one that's up and running, actually, I believe the first one was in reference to policing. And there's more that's going to be coming about. And these were a result of the listening sessions that the administration held throughout the community immediately after the Jacob Blake shooting. The city is also working to rebuild the Uptown neighborhood. We have a developer that's going to develop the biggest parcel that was burned during the civil unrest. If you know how municipal governments move and this quickness or lack thereof, what we've done in reference to the Uptown neighborhood has been pretty miraculous, in my opinion. And then, but that's one of the things that the problem is in reference to what's happened at Jacob Blake shooting is that there's a lot of cynicism that people have in reference to municipal government. So there's some people who see this redevelopment as a whitewash, as a way to try to cover up what has happened. The city has made an investment into the former Brown Bank building, which will bring different resources into that neighborhood that hasn't been there. Just for example, Some of the colleges will have offices at the Brown Bank building so that instead of traveling out to the outskirts of the city to take advantage of these educational opportunities, these things are going to be brought right into our older neighborhoods. That's just one small aspect of what the city has invested in reference to the Brown Bank building. So between the Brown Bank building and the development of the uptown business area there, there's some amazing things happening.
What will the developer put on that parcel in the commercial district?
There'll be mixed commercial and retail.
Uh-huh.
And the developer has committed to keeping the commercial rents at what the former occupants were paying as a way to bring those vendors, those business people back into the community.
What opportunities do you think could emerge from the protests, from these rebuilding efforts?
I think there's discussions happening that we haven't had before. I'm amazed at the discussions that are happening at the county level. Laura Belsky was able to, County Board Supervisor Laura Belsky was able to draft and pass a resolution stating racism as a public health crisis. I think that was very, very big. I think it was tremendous to do that. The county has put together a racial and ethnic equity commission. I don't think those discussions would have happened without the Jacob Blake situation going on, or the momentum behind them, I should say, because there's a lot of us having those discussions. But to have the momentum build, I don't think would have happened absence of that unfortunate situation. The thing that for me that is most troubling, exciting, that's not really the word I want to use, but I told you about a sense of pessimism that's kind of, whatever we do as a city, a lot of people in the community are very pessimistic about it. Unfortunately, some things that are happening in our city are being lumped in with the Jacob Blake situation. We are in the midst of a long-term project to redevelop the former Chrysler site. This has been years in the making. And it involves so many different entities to get us to the point where we're at today, you know, from the old Chrysler Corporation to the new Chrysler Corporation, the UAW to the CAW, Department of Natural Resources, federal government. All these entities had to come together.
There's a lot of collaboration. Anthony, thank you for joining us. Anthony Kennedy, Kenosha Alderperson here on the Ideas Network. Vaccination rates vary widely on UW campuses across the state. We're learning why, finding out how higher ed is navigating the fall semester here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now let's check in on our fall membership drive. I'm here with Andrea Schwerbel. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, Kate.
We're here to say your support is an essential piece of the funding pie for the programs you enjoy on WPR. And in fact, listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. And this drive is your time to take action. You make the programs possible when you give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And we have 25 minutes left to meet our goal this hour. We are looking for 11 more people to join in. Thank you if you've already given.
And if you haven't, give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Your gift funds the programs you enjoy.
We cover all sorts of important topics on The Morning Show. We just heard an update from Kenosha, and we are about to hear about how the COVID-19 pandemic is affecting universities. These are the kinds of conversations you can count on from The Morning Show.
WPR is listener supported, and it means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It makes the many topics that you join us for every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
And it may be that giving a dollar a day is the right amount for your WPR listening. And that's a great value if you think about it. It's less than a cup of coffee or a soda or a day of cell phone service.
And a dollar a day comes out to $30 a month. And you can set that up as a monthly transfer from your bank account or charge to your credit card. But make the gift now, right now, in the amount that's right for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, I figured it was important for me to become a sustaining member because I needed to give back. I really enjoy the programs here. I get to hear it every day, and I figured there's buy-in. When I'm a sustainer, I enjoy driving to work, leaving work, being at home, even going to bed listening to WPR. Most media that you hear now, most programs don't have that objectivity that WPR offers. I enjoy all the shows, and I figure you gotta let your money talk. I'm Eben from Appleton, Wisconsin. I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio.
Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent with Andrea Schwerbel. Listener support, it is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. And that's why your support during this fall member drive is so critical. Maybe you set your gift to $10 a month. Maybe you set it at $100 a month. Whatever amount that you choose, that is the right amount.
If you do $10 a month, that works out to just 33 cents a day, and that's a great value.
Super great value. And make a gift of $10 a month right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and you'll get so much in return.
You can help us get to our goal this hour. We've got about 20 minutes to get there and are looking for 11 more people to join in. You make WPR possible with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I want to just give a shout out to sustainers. And if you're not a sustainer, become one right now. It's super easy to set up the monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You'll provide ongoing support for the programs you love and get automatically entered in the drawings we have during member drives.
You can join Gretchen in Verona, who says, "You bring joy to my morning every day." Thank you, Gretchen. If you feel that way too, make a gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you.
Colleges and universities are trying to contain the highly contagious Delta variant, enticing students to get vaccinated with a scholarship drawing at the UW, making policies on masking, navigating a heavily politicized debate that has some Republican lawmakers wanting all safety measures to get approval from the legislature. Is your campus encouraging or requiring vaccines? How do you feel about the way it has handled the pandemic? Conversation on higher ed right here, 800-642-1234. Rich Kramer is a WPR reporter based in Eau Claire. Rich, welcome back.
I'm glad to be back. Thanks.
Yeah, the UW system released vaccination rates for every campus. What are your takeaways from the numbers?
Well, there is a wide variety. You know, we've got 13 universities, 26 campuses overall when you count the two-year branch campuses. So it's a big system, but it doesn't so much act as one system all the time. And this is a great case in point. So vaccination rates, and these are just student vaccination rates, they vary wildly. So UW-Madison, and this is data from September 15th, excuse me. It's going to be updated every week. But UW-Madison had over 91% of its students confirm that they've been vaccinated. Then on the low end, you've got UW-Parkside in Kenosha County at 38%. So that right there is just a stark difference. The rest of the campuses, and we're talking four-year universities in this case, they're between you know, the low 40s and the upper 70s in terms of percentages. So it's really all over the place. And that was a little surprising to see.
When you talk to, you know, people at Parkside or these other institutions that have such low numbers, do you know what's going on there?
Well, I haven't actually dug into that yet. I haven't talked to people at Parkside elsewhere, but I have been busy trying to get answers to some questions from the communications staff, which is kind of the first stop on the reporter's journey here in the UW world. And what I've been hearing is that the campuses have different ways of having students confirm that they've been vaccinated. Some are doing sort of like a survey situation where students will just enter their information. Other campuses like UW-Madison and UW-Eau Claire are requiring students, or at least giving students the option to scan and upload the actual vaccine card that they've got.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, I wouldn't say that accounts for the differences, but that's just one of the little nuances here. We've got percentages that are measuring the same thing, but how they get there is different campus by campus. And again, that's just one more example of how it's a system, but also these campuses are very independent in how they do things, and they've got that leeway. So we're going to learn more about that. Yesterday, system interim president Tommy Thompson said that he expects, you know, more campuses to get to the 70% threshold that he's set. He's offering these financial incentives. Right now it's UW-Eau Claire is there, UW-Milwaukee is there, UW-La Crosse is past the 70%. But Thompson said yesterday that he expects by next month more like 8 to 10 campuses to be past that 70%.
To be past that threshold. Let's zoom out here on the federal level. President Biden requiring workers at large employers over 100 employees to be vaccinated or get tested regularly. Do these new mandates apply to colleges?
I haven't gotten an answer from UW system campuses or from Tommy Thompson. It seems like they're not really sure at this point. I've been told that the technical details of these executive orders have yet to come out from departments like OSHA that would be kind of helping this mandate at the executive level. So they're not sure, because I reached out to UW-Madison first. Part of that executive order said that any contractor that does business with the federal government has to abide by the mandate as well. And there's all kinds of research that's happening at UW-Madison and even Milwaukee that is funded in part from federal grants and contracts. So it's a wait and see at this point. Yesterday, Tommy Thompson was asked that same question, and he said he's not sure right now.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Rich Kramer, a WPR reporter based in Eau Claire, looking at how higher ed is navigating these times. You can join in. Are you a student or staff member at a Wisconsin college? What is your take on how the school year is going so far? Conversation is at 800-642-1234. Rich, turning to testing, COVID testing, what can you tell us about the scale and results of testing on campuses this fall?
Well, the way they're going about it is different this year than last year, because mainly vaccines are available. So in general, UW system campuses, they don't have vaccine mandates. Tommy Thompson has told the campuses that he doesn't want to mandate vaccinations. He prefers a voluntary approach. And there's a huge financial incentive for students. There's this campaign called 70 for 70. So if I'm a student who's been vaccinated, and my campus reaches that 70% student vaccination rate or above, then I could potentially win a $7,000 scholarship. So that's the big push, is the voluntary effort. But so that's vaccinations. In terms of testing, if you've been vaccinated, you don't have to be tested. So the testing numbers that I'm seeing are much lower than they were before, which makes sense. But also UW-River Falls, for example, instead of testing, say, every student that lives in a dormitory every week, what they're doing is among the pool of people that haven't been vaccinated, they're going to sample 10% at random from that group. So instead of testing everybody once a week in that bubble, they're just going to take a sample out of it. So that's one of the most notable approaches.
Yeah,
most notable differences I've seen.
I wonder how the universities are doing with the cost of COVID tests. Who's paying for them? Are they absorbing the costs?
That's another good question that I still have to get after.
Report out.
There's all sorts of federal funding that's come to universities through the various federal stimulus bills. So I would imagine, this is somewhat speculation, but I would imagine that some of that would come from those funds. And I do believe that some of that federal funding was aimed at doing that.
The interim system president, Tommy Thompson, announced yesterday that nearly all classes being currently taught on UW campuses are in person. So very much a complete turnaround from when everything was remote last fall. I would imagine that would bring some normalcy to these campuses, but also heightening risk.
Right. It's a give and take for sure. I talked to students just before September 2nd, which was the start of classes for most of the UW system class campuses. Students were really glad to be back on campus. And let's see, I talked to 14 students, 13 of them had already been vaccinated. So that was surprising to me. You know, that could be a fluke just based on the random people I picked. But the students didn't like the online classes. So they're glad to be back in the classroom. There were some that were concerned that classes would get pushed back online because of outbreaks, but there was a general optimism that the vaccination and campus efforts like mask mandates would keep that from happening. So they're really hoping to make it through the semester without any major disruptions, because during 2020, as everyone probably remembers, lots of stuff was shut down and the campuses were no different. So students spent almost the entire school year online. Some of them had to stay in their dormitories because, you know, living on campus, there was a lot of restrictions that really didn't exist in the community.
Yeah. Let's take a call now. Rana joining us from Rice Lake. Hi, Rana. What is on your mind about the campuses?
Hi, good morning. I'm hoping Mr. Kramer can explain to me why UW-Madison, I've heard on the news, is an exception to the $7,000 scholarship potential. That's my only question. Thank you.
Thank you. Rich?
That's a great question. The best answer that I've heard out of Interim President Thompson is that Madison is, quote, doing their own thing. That's the best I've got for you. Madison has always kind of stood out in terms of the COVID response because they've got resources that the other campuses do not, mainly, you know, huge testing capabilities through the School of Veterinary Medicine that has been ramped up to do COVID testing. You know, they've got financial resources. That's not to say UW-Madison isn't offering financial incentives on its own. I'm just not aware of it. But I do know that a lot of other campuses, UW-Eau Claire, UW-Stout, pretty much every campus that I've seen is offering some sort of a gift, whether it be a $100 gift card. They're also promoting the state's $100, you know, incentive to get vaccinated. So Madison's probably doing its own thing. It's just not part of this 70 for 70 campaign. And I'm honestly not sure why that is, other than Thompson saying that they're doing their own thing.
Let's land on state politics. Tommy Thompson rejecting a Republican state senator's order to submit COVID protocols for the legislature's approval. Now there's talk of a possible lawsuit. What is the latest on this dispute?
The latest is that nothing's happened since Tommy Thompson basically said, I'm not going to submit these COVID protocols and measures to the Joint Committee for Review of Administrative Rules for approval. He said, I'm not going to do it. And then Steve Noss, the state senator from Whitewater, who chairs or co-chairs that committee, has asked the leaders in the assembly and the state senate to sue, you know, on behalf of the legislature. That hasn't happened. And what has happened is we've seen two fairly well-known Republican politicians, one in the Assembly and one in the State Senate, say, we're not going to support this lawsuit. So I've been asking Senator Nass's office. I've reached out to Assembly Speaker Voss and Senate Majority Leader Lemieux. You know, is this going to happen? And nothing. I've gotten no reply. The other possibility is that a third party files a lawsuit on behalf of students and or parents.
Well, we'll be watching. Rich, thank you for sharing your reporting with us.
Thank you.
Rich Kramer, a WPR reporter based in Eau Claire. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I hope you stay with us next hour when we look at the challenges women and underrepresented groups face in the workplace. Now it's our fall membership drive going strong. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Andrea Schwerbel. As a WPR listener, you know you're always going to hear something interesting when you join us on The Morning Show. And that is thanks to your support. Listeners provide the largest share of the funding for WPR programs. When you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You make The Morning Show, everything else as well you hear on WPR possible.
And we've seen some progress on our goal for the hour, which is great. We are still looking for 6 more people to join us in the next 5 minutes, and then we will meet our goal. And these hourly goals are set up to make sure that we have the funding for the programs that you enjoy. So make your donation at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
You know, we've been talking with WPR's Rich Kramer and his reporting on how higher ed is navigating these times, how college campuses are in the pandemic and what they're up against. These are the kinds of conversations you count on from The Morning Show.
WPR is listener supported in order to make these conversations happen, and that means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 make the many topics you tune in for every day possible. How it works is you choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
And how about joining Team WPR and sport the new WPR baseball cap with the WPR logo on front? You'll show off your public media pride wherever you go. You can wear it on a hike, to a ball game, of course, grocery store. This cap will be your new favorite accessory no matter where you go. Ask for yours with your gift of $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I became a sustaining member because I listened to WPR throughout the day. It's in my car, it's in my home. I know that there is always a topic of interest that I'll enjoy hearing. I like being a sustainer because I'm listening to Wisconsin Public Radio all the time anyway, and I would rather not have to worry about responding and making an extra phone call or sending in the envelope that gets mailed to me. I just like knowing that my money is there and will be supporting Wisconsin Public Radio for years to come. I would say become a sustaining member because it's so very easy. Do it today, you'll be glad that you did. I'm Nancy from New Berlin, Wisconsin. I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too.
Thank you, Nancy. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Andrea Schwerbel. Your support during this fall membership drive makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you set it at, that is the right amount.
And we have just 2 minutes left to meet our goal for the hour. We're looking for 6 more people to join in. Make your gift to support the programs you enjoy and rely on every day.
And WPR programs, they are listener powered. That means that your donation right now makes a huge difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You are already part of the WPR community of listeners, and whether you've been listening for years or just a couple months, you can become part of our community of members, which is people who support the programs they value.
And if you're a sustaining member, thank you so much. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by, say, $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift is so powerful, it makes a difference at WPR.org. And thank you. Thank you so much for your support.